wrong title again.
Anda de lo lili ele du mare.
Okay, push the start button, counting down from 7 minutes on my iPod Touch. Jeez, come on, show up. Where are you? Yeah, and talking into my new beautiful, how I love this little toy, the Olympus LS-10. Anyway, not to get sidetracked, this is the Dixon James Podcast, and this is number 186. This is a start, but what's going to follow this is simply a conversation I had with my son over lunch the other day. I hesitated, you know, about putting it out, but I listened back, and I liked the flow of the conversation. And so what I'm telling you folks is, if you're not interested in the Scarborough dude eating lunch with his number one son in the conversation that follows, skip this episode. That's all. But before you do that, let me say once more, as I said at the end of my last podcast, Dixon James is very, very pleased to have an official sponsor, which is True Audio. So here's the plug. That's all I'll say at this point. T-R-E-W-A-U-D-I-O. Look it up on the internet. Very decent folks, and if you're looking for something for your podcast and want a little more information, that's the place to go. I was in talking with Tyler, the manager, yesterday, and he showed me a corner where they're going to set up some sort of like a podcasting studio, so you can actually see the equipment you might be interested in purchasing. So enough said, True Audio, you'll find them on the internet right here in Toronto. Great place to buy your podcasting gear, and or at least ask questions and get answers from people who know. Moving on, this conversation with number one son is, it's just going to flow, it's just going to be there, and you decide whether or not you're interested in hearing a 60-year-old man talk to his 19-year-old son. And that's all, putting it out there. Nothing more to be said. There's more that I want to say, and maybe it'll follow in a subsequent podcast, but it's about what's happening in my life right now, the synchronicity. It's uncanny. I've just spent the past hour sitting here in my office with our newly negotiated lower rent, reading about journals, responding to journals in the learning process by Tara Fenwick, and the preceding article, Using Journal Writing to Enhance Reflective Practice. Reflection is a key word in my work as a teacher and in my work as a mediator. And it's so interesting that this happens to be one of the topics that comes up in my course now. It's a perfect situation where all the elements of my life that I've been talking about, studying, teaching, mediating, and podcasting, are all coming together. In fact, I looked ahead to one of our assignments, and it's to examine an area of adult education that's being served in your community. And of course, the topic I've picked, which I know nobody else will go near, is mediation. How is that a form of adult education? How does it serve the needs of the community? So I'm thrilled about that. I just feel so dang happy that at this point in my life, because if you're a long-term listener, you know that long ago I was wanting to say, how my life seems so broken up into little pieces. How are they ever possibly going to fit together? And surprisingly, here we are, February the 7th, my wife's birthday tomorrow. When I'm able to bring all these pieces together and see how they fit and see how one builds on the other. This whole business about reflective journals, I was stunned. I ran out of yellow highlighter from going through the passage because it all applies to podcasting. And I think what's so fascinating to me is that here I am, 2009 reading through current literature in the field of adult education, but they're talking about written journals. And I can just see that 5 years down the road, somebody is going to update these articles, and what they're going to be talking about is podcasting as a reflective tool to develop your skills as a teacher, to submit to somebody else, because they're talking about, well, what is it? If you write a journal, what is the role of the person who is looking at these things? You know, how much are they going to play a role in helping the person develop their thoughts or hindering the process? And that, of course, applies to what is listenership in podcasting, which is perfectly in line with what I plan to talk about on our panel discussion at the upcoming PodCamp Toronto. It just all fits. What roles do listeners play? How much do you really want to let them have a say in your podcast? It's uncanny. It's bizarre. It's beautiful. I will talk more about that. Unfortunately, I'm looking at my countdown. So, folks, what follows? I hope you enjoy. And if you're not into it, skip it. There will be one song in there sent to me by Todd, who found me on Blip FM and said, oh, that reminds me, I got a song for the dude. It's a great song, and it seems to fit right in the middle of our conversation. So, yeah, I hope you do listen. I think it's one my son will enjoy. I certainly enjoy. Thank you, Todd. And the inspiration partly comes from the fact that, gee, what's his name? Mark Blevis, that guy? Phoned me today on my way into my office to say, hey, dude, I was listening to you and your son in the dormitory at York. You're a little heavy-handed with him. And I'm saying, yeah, all right, okay, time's up. I was, Mark, but listen to this show and you'll find we've made progress. And damn it, Mark, by the time you're listening to this show, I'm way fucking down the road in some other place at some other podcast. So catch up, will you? But no, hey, I'm honored you're listening. I'm over time now. Folks, believe me, it's hard to say, but I am in the best, happiest fucking place I've been in my life in many, many, many years. I don't know why, but I'm here. And it's all part of the journey. And so I encourage you, please, if you're on a journey, if you're in a tight spot, if you're having difficulties, keep on keeping on, because things work out. Okay, gotta go. Bye. Push the mic a second time. And you can also choose whether you're going to record in MP3 or WAV format. I do MP3 because that's how it. That's how I record my podcast. Put it in the GarageBand that way. Okay. And we're sitting here at
I'm recording now.
Yeah, I thought while you're here and we're having lunch together, I'll do a recording with number one son, who you heard on the last podcast. What's his name again?
Oh, you uploaded Chuck? That?
I haven't done. I'm going to as soon as I get home. I edited some of that out. It's not a whole lot there.
Okay, good.
I feel a little bad because I recorded afterwards with my friend Brian, and I was talking about Edward's view that the world is going to end, and
he didn't say the world was going to end.
Okay,
he said
something special is going to happen.
Something 2012 is a significant year in the sense that something drastic is happening.
I can barely hear your voice, but that's,
well, I don't believe that personally.
No, neither do I. I guess, I think I might have mentioned, though, I think I might have made mention of the fact that I didn't agree with the fact that there are people who can communicate with spirits.
Yeah.
I probably should be a little more open-minded about that, because I think I believe in a spirit world.
Yeah.
But I think I probably dismissed it at the time, and so I wouldn't want his feelings to be hurt if he heard the podcast.
Not at all. I told him straight up.
Okay, that's fine. So I need to get a haircut.
No, your eyebrows, though.
Well, we're not going to talk about my eyebrows on this podcast, thank you.
Okay.
when I picked up Jerry today, I noticed pink nail polish on all 10 fingers. Oh, wonderful.
You're going to mention that?
Well, I'm going to mention that. I want an explanation here. My readers, listeners might want an explanation why you have nail polish on all your fingers.
It was pub night last night at my university.
So that should explain it right there.
I think that says everything.
All right. You've had your first week back at York. How has it gone?
It's gone shockingly easygoing. Like, the profs are being very leniently, as they absolutely should be. But my very first class, I was extremely stressed. Mind you, it was a morning course, so I was tired. I could not listen to a thing, was not focusing. I was just in my own little world and really not willing to catch up. But I'll get back in the groove, hopefully.
I hope so, too.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, I expect there was going to be a tough first week back for everybody. Well, yeah.
I mean, French was shockingly easy because our school's really stupid in the sense that I'm in 0400, the lowest French level, intermediate.
Yeah.
But that is for people who have no French experience, which includes people who've only taken French up to grade 9. So there's a huge divide in there. People who are either from the States or international students who've never taken French in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, and then there's other students in there who are Canadian high school students who obviously took French until grade 9, at least.
So they have mandatory. An edge.
So there's yeah, exactly, like me. I had a slight edge, but it's...
But soon that's going to level out. By the time you get into your second year, that edge will be gone.
If I get into my second year and continue taking French, I'm probably...
Well, if you continue...
Not going to pursue this.
If you continue at Glendon, you have to
take French. Well, obviously, yeah. Yeah. But I don't know if I will.
All right.
Glendon's nice, though. Small. Not, it really shouldn't be part of York. It's a completely separate institution, in my opinion, and real sense of community there. Small, everyone almost knows each other. The class sizes are much smaller, so you can be a lot more one to one with your professor if you want to be.
So we're sitting here at the Cashew Thai restaurant? I think it's
Cashew
called.
Cafe. I don't know.
Cashew. I think something. It's Cashew Thai. Something. And it's a very, very nice little place. And we've each ordered a lunch because they have lunch specials from 12 to 3 for $5.95, which is remarkable for coconut soup. And I'm having spicy noodles. And Jerry's having... Oh, beautiful. Thank you. Jerry's having... what did you order?
I can't remember. Something vegetarian.
Something vegetarian. Oh, and the soup looks fantastic. It's got mushrooms floating in it. So I'm going to shut off the recorder here and get back to you later on
as we
enjoy our lunch. Well, all right, you can come along with the first taste. That is so good. So I highly recommend this place. It's on Kingston Road. Contact me if you want to know the address because I don't have it right now. I'll talk to you later.
Tomato.
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 Pot.
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 Nabe.
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 Yeah, I'm back. I'm just going to set the recorder down here and see if it works. It's on record volume. I'm going to turn it up a little bit. Oops, sorry. Wow.
He just got the thing, so he's not quite sure how to work it, obviously.
That's
a really beautiful, fancy-looking gadget. I wouldn't touch it.
Appears to be recording, yeah. The reason is... We got into an interesting discussion, 2 spoons into our soup, about Jerry was telling me why he actually loves soup.
Listen,
well, one of the factors. So
I will tell you right now. I've noticed that since I began smoking marijuana, I can't remember exactly when I started, but it wasn't too long ago.
I don't need to know the details.
Yeah, you don't need to know the details exactly. You're my father, you'd be afraid of those details. It's really opened my mind, and I think that comes with the education when you aren't so afraid of the stereotypes and media portrayals of the drug. When you kind of smoke it almost in a ritualistic sense. It really heightens certain things. Obviously, it slows you down, and yeah, I know that. But my senses of taste, smell, anything like that, just experiences, especially touch, are heightened. And I've really come to appreciate cuisine. Like, food is such a luxury. And it's opened my mind. I like to say I'm well-cultured with my meals. I really like to try new things, and I was never like that before I smoked.
I think, I mean, part of it, of course, is age, too, growing up. But I think the other thing you're saying, and I hope, is a transference here. It's not just that you have to be stoned to enjoy your soup.
Well, I'm not stoned right now.
Because you're not.
I'm not.
But it's opened up a new world to you.
That's precisely what I mean.
And this is what happened to me when I was first turned on. It seemed to open a world that I had forgotten about or you know, lost. I think it brings back a little bit of childhood, the simplicity and the open-mindedness to experience new things. So again, here we are, father and son, talking about a shared value, something we don't do together at this point.
Most certainly not.
And it's not important whether we do or don't. And in fact, I think it's important that we don't at this point, because it would alienate the rest of our family, because Jerry's mother would be very much against this. And I don't think it would be a good thing for number two son at this point to get into. So we're sort of keeping it quiet. And I think it's got to remain that way.
Basil
noodle. Excellent.
Thank you.
Wow, it looks good. Wish I had my camera with me.
You better tip that.
I always do.
Okay.
No, I like this place. That's why I
have my camera.
This is
I want to take a picture of that. I won't even joke. I have a little photo album on my iPhoto of just delicious meals. Sometimes I go to a restaurant, I take pictures of it.
I do that in Japan all the time.
And I looked at it. Yeah, but it's almost like
a stoner thing. It's not because of the cuisine. It's more like.
Now, you don't have to do, if I were you, I'd do that. Why don't you do the whole table so you get in my nice recorder, too? It's all part of the deal.
Why don't I get a picture of you?
Well, with this food. We got everything in? Recording.
Oh, you're kind of on
coffee. There we go.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you. Can we have a little more water, too, please? Okay. I think we're both good. We can just top it off. Yeah, taking audio record of photographs is not always a good thing. In fact, it seldom is.
Audio recording of photographs? Mm.
Yeah. What hearing do you mean people take pictures. Not much audio there. It's very good soup.
Yeah. Mm. I love the soup.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you have vegetarian, and I have a spicy basil with, ooh, boy, lots of vegetables, and broccoli, and peppers, and fried noodles.
Mmm.
Mmm. This has got to be one of the best deals in Scarborough.
Yeah, I don't think
I can. I just wish more people knew about it. It's on Kingston Road.
By Brindley.
What's the address of this place? What's the address of this place? 2761 Kingston Road. 2761 Kingston Road. Okay. I'm telling my friends. I'm making a podcast. I'm telling my friends. Yeah. Thai Cashew. 2761 Kingston Road.
Yes. Keep that.
All right. I will. Thank you. It's just excellent. It's
delicious.
No, they are not a corporate sponsor, but I sure... I like to pitch the little guys. This is great. All right, we're going to shut down again while we eat. Unless you had a new topic, a new inspired thoughts to share.
No, I'm really enjoying my meal.
I could just keep it recorded. That also
comes with living on residence.
The
because when you get food. Yeah, you're so used to shit food, and then when you get an actual restaurant meal, you just appreciate it that much more. Or home cooking.
Well, you were lucky, you know, whether you appreciate it or not. Your mom is an excellent cook. She's really
amazing. Of course I appreciate it.
And she always has been, and a variety of dishes. She can do pretty well anything.
If she puts her mind to it, though.
Well, and she has most of her life, but there are times when she'll be tired. Yeah. She'll not want to cook, which is certainly fair game. My efforts are pretty pathetic. Although, I do make a good chili, a good fried egg sandwich.
Yeah, the soup wasn't bad.
That homemade soup. This is an incredible amount of food, too, for that price. I mean, this is huge. I think it's because the soup was so filling, too.
Yeah, no kidding. That's what I was going to say. Like, I'm already...
I know. I'm full now, but we might be able to get some to take out, maybe.
Well, I think we should just take our time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how much of a rush Mom is in.
No, don't worry about it. You should be glad we're having a lunch out. It's a good thing to do.
Yes, it sounds
I owe you this lunch.
Thank you.
I'm guessing that's Thai we're hearing in the background.
I don't know.
I wonder if the recorder will pick it up. It has a zoom feature where you can pick up, you can use the mic, point it to hear. I told you, like a zoom lens, you can hear things in the distance.
I think you should remind your audience once again what exactly you're using.
Well, they know. I started off with my new Olympus LE10, LS10, sorry. And it is just a gorgeous looking piece of equipment.
Top of the line, apparently.
Well, there's a lot of audio freaks who listen to this show, too, and they may know some things and have different opinions, but It certainly is as top as I'm ever going to go. And I should insert, here once more, that I got it at True Audio, the official sponsor for the Dixon James podcast.
Well, aren't you proud?
I am. Very proud to have a sponsor, and everybody who listens to this show knows that I would not advertise or promote something I didn't believe was very decent and above board.
You've always been
and,
about
these guys are.
Are they a smaller business?
No, they're part. They have a branch in Vancouver.
Oh wow!
Based out of Nashville, so there's Nashville, Toronto, and Vancouver, and they do a lot of stuff for the film industry.
Hmm.
They're specialists in recording equipment,
hmm.
but they also know a lot about podcasting. The manager of the Toronto branch is a podcaster himself, so they know a lot about gear and mics and all that kind of stuff, and of course recorders, like the one I've got.
So, has the quality of your podcast changed at all over the years, or have you always been the same, or what? I don't know what your show's about. Oh, by the way, what's his name? Edward is listening to them, but I told him the rules. I said, you can go ahead, but I'm not to know about
how long has he been listening? Just since our last meeting? Last week?
Basically.
So he hasn't heard the.
He actually subscribed, apparently.
No.
I told him
the rules are what?
Basically, he can go ahead and listen to it, but I'm not to hear.
Well, it's not that you're not able to, but it's like me, I don't go on your Facebook.
Well, that's precisely why.
That's what
I told him too. I'm like, you can go ahead and add him on Facebook, but I have nothing to do with it.
Well, the thing is, my first Facebook persona is under my real name. Podcasting is under the Scarborough Beard, and those are two separate entities. And now, people who know me through the podcast know who I really am,
I don't keep it a big secret, but in terms of my business, my relations in Japan in particularly, I prefer that my Japanese clients don't know about the Scarborough dude.
Yes.
That's a big factor. And my students at college, I prefer, had no knowledge of somebody called the Scarborough dude.
Yeah.
Huh? That just makes sense.
Or faculty at this school, come on.
Well, faculty, I'm not too worried about, but I wouldn't go around promoting it.
Well, from what I hear, it's quite...
It's outspoken in some issues.
Yeah, to say the least.
I mean, one of my mandates is I'm very much in favor of legalized prostitution and legalized pot. And I feel strongly about those
issues.
Sounds
like you belong in Amsterdam.
Well, they have their share of troubles. No, I belong in Canada.
Well, the share of troubles comes when you have too much of either thing. Hold on, the phone's ringing. Hello? Hey, Stephen. Sorry, Edward. I'm in a Thai restaurant with my dad. We were just talking about you. Funny. Yeah, I'm being recorded right now. What up? I'm going with my mom to pick up my new glasses. And then... Oh, better question, when are you free? Until 8, great. I'll see you before then for sure, because I have our stuff. Okay, great. So, I'll call you when I'm back. But this will be within the next, like, 2 or 3 hours. Cool. I'll probably come by your house then. See ya. Bye. Luckily, Edward lives down the street. We've been friends since, I don't know, we were little kids. Like, we didn't go to the same school when we were first friends. We used to stick fight in the hills, which you wouldn't recall as well as Mom would, because you didn't really take us to the hills. But, yeah, that's when I first met Steven, his younger brother, of course, and Daniel.
Your younger brother knew his younger brother.
Yeah.
I've talked about that.
They were the same age.
He influenced you in terms of turning you on to music, I think. Because I remember he used to come into the garage. There was a point, and I was always fascinated, that neither you or Daniel were really interested in music. And I thought, well, it'll come.
Stephen,
Edward.
Sorry, Edward definitely did. And now, funny, I have a huge influence on his music. People, at least friends at my university, they all really like my music. Like, when we just chill in my room, I always put on some tunes, and they'll be like, oh, I love this song.
So, like, what? What would you turn them on to that they didn't know?
Well, I start out usually by playing stuff they would know, and I love to play the just classic rock, silly tunes that everyone knows, or the Beatles, or anything like that. That's the atmosphere of my room. It just goes along, Pink Floyd, like. But then I'll play just other music, different things. Some people know it, some people don't. They appreciate it. I'm really open to music, though. So friends and I at university are going to be exchanging playlists soon. So, dude, we came up. And I'm going to go for more walks. Steve and I actually went for a walk. Sorry, Edward and I. I know Edward doesn't even go to the university, but we've made time. We went for a walk the other day through the Glendon Woods, and it was absolutely beautiful.
Well, that's the other nice thing.
The snow was well padded down, so it was perfect paths, and everywhere, people walking their dogs, some gorgeous dogs from the area, like all very friendly, too.
Great.
Really, really nice out. Like, perfect sunny day, beautiful in the winter.
I think you'll enjoy that in the spring, too.
I enjoy it year-round. I've always liked nature. I'm sure you're aware of that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
If you need to simplify my personality, I'm like a dog. Like, I need walks. I need to be walked. I just need attention. I'm pretty simple, though. But I'm loyal. I love to play. I'm a dog. And I don't get along. Yeah, a friendly
big
dog.
Big friendly dog. Yeah.
I don't get along. And now I realized the people I don't get along with, they're cats. They're cat-like people.
Uh-oh.
They like to keep to themselves. Or they're kind of like... I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to explain it. But they're very... They're more cat-like.
They're more independent. They're more particular, perhaps.
Yeah.
I understand that. I mean, you can still be a cat lover, but not identify yourself
as a
dog. Cat.
I love cats.
Yeah.
I love animals, though, in general. It is a really nice place here.
Do you know the Elvis?
Yeah, I noticed that.
The bronze Elvis on the bar with...
I was going to say...
Covered in the...
When I first came, it almost feels like a small place in another country.
It does exactly feel
like
that.
Precisely. Feels like.
Yeah, and that's why I like it. It's kind of as a. It could be anywhere in this place. You could be in Thailand.
That's what I was gonna say. Even though I've never been to Thailand in my life, this is what I'd imagine a little place, local place to be like.
Well, it's nice because your mom comes here sometimes from work. She and I have been here a few times, and now you and I have been here. And
it's great.
So, but I think it's very important to support local places. Yeah, I mean, you can come with a friend for $5.95. You can bring your friends here and get a much better than McDonald's ever will be.
Well, I'd never, ever go to McDonald's.
I know, but if people say I'm hungry, here's a good place to get to.
Yeah, but I've boycotted it completely.
Now
not just because I'm vegetarian. Like, that was a conscious decision even before I was vegetarian. I was like, you know what? I'm not eating any McDonald's ever.
Well,
anymore.
The one treat your younger brother and I enjoy is Thursday night. I stop at A&W because we get a Toucan Dine for $9.99.
Yeah.
And I actually like the Teen Burger.
No, they're good.
We're talking Dean Burger fries and a big root beer, and to me, that's
look,
a treat.
I have
too.
No problem eating meat. The reason I'm vegetarian, I think I've mentioned this before already, but is what's I don't wrong? Like how it is, how it's advertised, how it's what am I trying to say?
The meat is processed.
Yes, that too. All the chemicals.
Well,
and
I mean, that's
and
a huge part of it, isn't it?
The industry, they treat the product as if there was never any life originating in it whatsoever.
Mm.
You know, they essentially desensitize you to the fact that, yeah, this thing was living, you know, at one point. They basically give you the attitude, who cares where it came from, it's meat.
That's why.
And I think it's very important to know where it came from, which...
That's why when I was in Nigeria, a couple of the teachers felt it was very important for me to attend the sacrificing of
precisely.
A couple of goats.
If I went to Nigeria, I would eat meat. But that's because I would know where every...
Well, okay.
Not necessarily where...
The point is, later, I guess the next day, we were eating goat pepper soup and goat meat with rice. And the goat was little one-inch cubes, little small pieces. But I had seen the goats from whole goats tethered up on the hill... With the where they killed them and cut the meat, till it became part of the meal we had the next day, and I'm grateful for that experience. And they just thought they knew
important.
That I got my meat in little packages, cellophane packages in supermarkets. And they said, no, you want to know where it comes from.
That's exactly what I think is important. I think the mainstream society is desensitizing people to a lot of things,
including war.
War especially?
Especially war, with technological war, being able to drop bombs on people by the point of a button, and what's the word they use when the Israelis and the Americans are dropping bombs on houses? Collateral damage for the people who, you shouldn't have been in that house.
Their
pinpoint accuracy
is,
they brag about.
I think to kill someone, you should have to look into their eyes first before you actually kill someone, you know? I was talking to someone who says, if I joined the army, I'd want to be artillery. And I'd be like, really? Well, do you want to be behind a cannon and fire into God knows what spot and kill whoever in the way with a huge explosive?
In a most brutal way, too.
Yeah.
Because you're not always killed instantly.
Yeah, it's just explosives instead. Do you really want to do that? I said, if you want to kill someone, and it's not that they wanted to kill anyone, it was just, it's innocence almost, but... I think it's ignorance more than that.
Well, it's the same with the meat. You're not seeing what you're doing.
Yeah, you're not seeing it, and I think it's important to see what you're doing.
I had to do, I've asked my students to do presentations on their heroes, and I said, do you want me to demonstrate first? So they said, yeah, show us, you know, what you have in mind. So I ad-libbed. Well, isn't that a good guess? Because I wanted to do Timothy Leary, but central to Leary is his promotion of the drug use, and I thought, they're never going to get that. No. So I did a choice. Guess who my choice was? You got Timothy Leary was going to be my first choice.
John Lennon.
Oh, that is uncanny. You're right. I think that's.
I know you better than you think. You know?
Well, I think that will impress our listeners right there and then. My son guessed my two choices, but I guess you didn't know me.
I'm sure you're aware the Scarborough dude is a neo hippie. He's.
What do you mean, neo?
Well, he's not a neo hippie. He lived through that era, and he's still living that lifestyle. Whereas some people live through that era, bygone. It's bygone in the past. Now they're more.
Hmm.
You know,
well, I would say it's come back to me more in recent years.
That's what I meant. You're,
and I think the podcasting is even helping me.
I was reading a really funny book that was classifying different pot smokers, like different groups of people who smoke. And there was one just basically hippies who, like, actual hippies that lived through that era are going on. I'm like, yeah, that's my. I was explaining it to my friend. I'm like, yeah, that's my dad's category. He's in there. Well, he says you always smoke one of them.
I did. I did decent presentation, but I emphasized the reason he was my hero is because he was a peace activist.
Good.
It wasn't just about the Beatles. I said that was everybody knew him because of that. But most important to me was the fact that. He was against war, launched anti-war programs, and I explained how he met Yoko, and that she was not the villain that lots of people like to point her out to be.
No, she wasn't.
And, I was just.
In fact, if anything, John was the villain in,
relationships.
He had a wife and a son, and he really did neglect them.
He neglected
them, so.
Totally. Poor Julian.
Well, much over.
Julian suffered.
Exactly. Much over Yoko Ono. John Lennon was a bastard. he was also.
This is the problem with heroes, in that Timothy Leary destroyed his two children. The one son ended up in jail several times, and I think a wife committed suicide, the son or the daughter committed suicide. They were just ignored. He was just so caught up in the fame thing. I mean, he had a huge ego, and that's what made him, drove him. He was a flawed character, and he had to be to become famous. And it was the same with John. I mean, he loved being famous, too.
Well, all our heroes are human beings.
Exactly.
There's no such thing as a perfect hero.
Mm-hmm. Well, some would argue maybe Gandhi was, or Mother Teresa, but then...
God knows what they did in the past before
and
they became
famous. And who wants to be Gandhi or Mother Teresa? Well, I don't think they did.
Famous. Well, I'm not suggesting they did. I just mean everyone... has different experiences in life and chooses to do different things, consciously or unconsciously, and
we're flawed. We are not yet gods. Anyway, he was a good example. I certainly feel that today. I'm deeply saddened that he was killed.
That's the world we live in. Although I'm surprised you didn't choose Obama so you could connect with the students.
It's too much of a cliche, no.
It is
everybody,
a cliche,
everybody,
but
everybody did
you know why heroes are a cliche.
No, but Obama, that would not be. They would know that. They would be bored by that. Lennon.
You know what, you're right.
They'd heard of the Beatles. Like, a light went off, and they'd be like, I heard of that.
Okay.
But most didn't know.
So have they done that project yet? Because I'm curious
starting,
what some of your students
are. No, these
are
going to be... Well, I've already know who their heroes are. Two of them picked Oprah Winfrey, and I thought that was good. Two women of color picked her, and I thought that's great.
I think that's true.
The other guy from Ghana picked Nelson Mandela, and I thought that was a great choice. One of the students who did not get the project, didn't understand. They only saw hero. I said, it has to be my hero, who you care about.
Mm-hmm.
So she picked an Indian Sikh freedom fighter,
mm-hmm.
and then changed her mind. And I said, "Well, okay, sure. I'll be flexible first time. You can choose somebody else." She came back and she picked Billy Bishop. And I said, "What connection? She's from India. well, what do you know about Billy Bishop? Well, I found him on the internet. Well, that's not exactly a personal hero. So, hopefully she's going to pick yet another one. She didn't get the concept. Gandhi was picked. I was very pleased. Yeah. Norman Bethune, of course, from a student from China, who you probably don't know about, was a Canadian doctor who helped.
I'm only familiar with the name because of York's Bethune faculty.
Okay. He was a devoted socialist, probably communist, and he helped the Chairman Mao during the Long March and died eventually just aiding the poor in China during the Civil War. And so he's seen as a great hero, somebody who sacrificed his life without sleep, and eventually just Canadian? Caught an infection. Canadian, doctor from Montreal, went over to China during that time and just helped until he was just exhausted and probably died of an infection or something. But he's revered even today in China.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Canadians do have a good reputation.
Well,
excuse me.
My name is Alex Kashyyyk and I run a small bar in the Zamalek district of Cairo. I work long hours, keep the place tidy, keep good order, keep a good reputation with the police. Been here 6 years, but I wouldn't say I'm settled. I just live here. I'm 36. I'm in reasonable shape. I keep the alcohol abuse in its place. I'm extremely pleased with myself. Tonight, well, it's a pretty normal night. We've got the expats. We've got local businessmen. The odd backpacker. The odd student. And they all sit around watching MTV and eyeing each other up. And it's quiet except for this couple of German cotton buyers who both turn out to come from Munich and get into a heated row about the relative merits of Bayern and 1868. When they get a bit too loud, I move in, calm things down, make a couple of crap jokes. Everything's cool. They shake hands, make some plans for the night, and head off together through the back door. Which comes as a surprise to me because I've been here 6 years and I never knew there was a back door. I walk over, stare at it. I could swear it wasn't there before, but there it is. And I'm not even sure where it's gonna come out, so I try it, turn the handle and step out into Munich.
Down the back. sitting on the same stool, in the same bed, wearing the same shoes, eating the same food. Sitting on the same stool, in the same bed, wearing the same shoes, eating the same food. Sitting on the same stool, in the same bed, wearing the same shoes, eating the same food. Sitting on the same stool, in the same bed, wearing the same shoes, eating the same food. Sitting on the same stool, in the same bed, wearing the same shoes, eating the same food. Sitting on the same stool, in the same bed, wearing the same shoes, eating the same food. Sitting on the same stool, in the same bed, wearing the same shoes, eating the same food.
You and I have another connection. You know, maybe a turning point in our relationship was the hobby store that you were always trying to drag me in there. And that's connected with Stephen, too, or Edward, his family.
Yeah.
Just down the road, Kingston Road.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's a shame that guy passed away before you could talk to him.
No, I did talk to him. I had good conversations with him. And I had even listeners to the Dixon James podcast went into the shop before it was closed.
Oh.
I talked about it on the podcast many times.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I really miss that store. Like, it was so convenient.
Well, he was such a nice guy. It was so sad. And the rest of his family seemed to be creeps.
They really were, from what I remember. They were totally...
They had no appreciation for what he had spent his lifetime collecting.
Oh, and yeah, just got, totally. When, it, when it shut down, when
yeah,
they were getting
rid of
it?
Yeah, they didn't care. It was just junk. That was so sad. Mm-hmm. He had a treasure house full of knowledge. So I got a couple of souvenirs from there that I'm glad. Big Daddy Ed Roth.
Beatnik models, Bandit.
Beatnik Bandit. And I never built them because I wasn't the time. Maybe when I'm old and put out to pasture, maybe I'll have to build one. But I just like having them in that box.
Yeah, be one of those anal tenant collectors that just keeps them in the box instead.
Well... For now. If you can't finish, that's okay.
No, I'm pretty much done here. The tofu was excellent.
A little spicy?
A little, not really. I'm pretty used to spice.
You should eat that last bean. Those are healthy for you and they're good.
Thank you, Dad.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. You'd hate to see this guy have to close up. But like he says, he's in a bind. If he gets too many customers at once, he can't do the orders fast enough.
Hmm.
But he needs more customers to expand the kitchen. So it's not the place you'd... I think when I asked about advertising, I think he was thinking of like having a big event or something all at once.
Yeah.
A lot of people coming in, you can't do that. Oh, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, closing off here. I hope you enjoyed the lunch between Scarborough Dude and his son, Jerry.
See, we just had a, well, for us, perfectly normal conversation there. Like,
it was.
What's the appeal to listeners?
People are curious sometimes, because if you follow it over time, like when I was in China, I did recordings from China. I really hit low points in China. I was so depressed. I was ready to die.
In China?
You don't know that. Oh yeah, I got really sick.
Well, yeah,
I had no idea why I was there. The whole journey was a life's journey. No, and I was trying to do something, and I wasn't into it, and I was puzzling about where's my life going. And what's so amazing, like I'm in the best headspace I've been in years because everything just fell into place, and it was as if, in fact, one of my listeners wrote in or actually commented in last show. And said, dude, I followed you in China, and I think, did you ever think that maybe you had to go there to avoid something that might have happened here? And I do think along those lines.
That's
so that was
such
reason.
An interesting point.
It is. And
everything happens for a reason.
Everything happens for a reason. My nephew is in the States. He's in the American Army. Tim.
Mm-hmm.
My sister married a creep in the States, and all three kids were brought up in the States. I am absolutely convinced that if she had stayed in Valleyfield, Quebec, Tim wouldn't be with us today. I just have it in my mind. Something on the back roads of Valleyfield, Howick, Ormstown, something would have happened. And he has a full life, and, you know, you can't figure these things out. I've come back, and this job fell into my lap, in a way. And it's exactly what I've been wanting. This course that I'm taking is the right time. Great. Everything fits perfectly. Everything is coming together. When I was studying last night,
when that happens in life?
It is. And when I was studying last night, I read a piece about audio or about journals, journal writing, and I took out the word writing a journal and substituted podcasting, and it fit perfectly. Like why we do this thing. And I wrote, that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm on a panel at PodCamp Toronto. I'm going to mention that. So there's a synchronicity to things. That's fascinating. So if people follow from one show, one conversation, they're not so interested. But if they back up and see the big picture, well, that's kind of cool. The dude's having lunch with his son.
Yeah.
That's enough.
It's the not age that divide, you're 19 and you're...
60, but that's irrelevant. It's not that...
It's not irrelevant when you can see that we're connecting here. It's
I said it's irrelevant. It's just a fact, that's all. But no, I'm glad we have a connection. I think we'll continue to have a good relationship and a good connection.
You have an incredibly youthful personality that I appreciate.
Well, as you know, I have a great concern about communicating with your younger brother.
Well, so do I.
I think that's just going to take time. I think it's going to resolve itself in a different way. And these are things that can't be forced. He's very much his own person. And I think that's going to be his strength down the road. And I'm optimistic there, too. But it's just a different path. The two of you have to be different. That's the way life is. Every sibling. Look at me and my brother and sister. You know them all.
Yeah, totally.
Can you imagine three people more different than myself, my brother, my sister? Completely different.
Yeah.
From the same mother and father.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
To mine more. So, all right, we'll close on that note. I have no doubts. I'm sure my listeners will enjoy this conversation. Thank you and goodbye. Any closing words?
No.
To your fan base?
Well, I'm still quite impressed that you have such a strong following. And
so I say.
I'm slowly starting to... understand somewhat how that might be possible.
Yeah. Well, you might have a podcast of your own some days. The thing is, one of the things...
Edward and I were thinking of it.
I think you and Edward do a great job. And it's a wonderful tool, and there's not many people your age group doing it.
Have conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And then you put it up. I'll help you guys on the technical end of putting it up there, hosting it, if you need to know where to do it.
Well, I'm seeing Edward later today because I have...
You're not boring this, I'll tell you right now.
No. I have a little something for him. I have to drop off.
And, yeah, don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, and
anyway,
I'll talk to him about it then.
Yeah, I could help out. I could be the referee, but I know you'd want to do it on your own. But it'll be a while before I'm ready to part with this thing. So
I am by no means wanting to even come close to that thing.
Okay, I've got to do what I'm waiting to do is number two episode of Gappage. That's one of the reasons I bought this, because we lost a whole episode. I recorded it on.
I'm sorry, what is this, mic. Gappage?
Gappage. I told you, I have a second podcast. Only and it's exploring the age gap between myself and Brent the Closet Geek. He's a very, very nice guy. He's 26.
Yeah.
And he and I got together over Tolkien. He and I thought we were the only two who found each other in Toronto and at PodCamp Montreal.
There you go. That's the other amazing thing about marijuana. You find people.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like when I was a kid and everyone liked Pokemon cards, I could make a friend so easily. I'd run across the street, if there was a kid, and ask him what Pokemon cards he had, and we could trade right on the spot, and I'd make a friend right there. We'd play Pokemon. It's the exact same ideal.
At its best, that is what it is about.
It's
created new friendships. In this case,
and it's the wrong people who see it at its worst.
Well, it's like people who don't get... Some people just don't get these things, you know?
But what they have to understand is it's a personal choice.
They don't get it. And that's why we can't lose this battle.
Oh, yeah.
We have to play it carefully and so on. But I think Canada's still in a decent place when it comes to our overall view. The government is not throwing people in jail for this at this point.
No, I was at Hot Box Cafe
You want to do is, I think the government is morally obliged sooner rather than later to decriminalize it so that it's taken out of the hands of the bikers,
the actual
criminals, the triads, the dangerous criminals. People who actually kill for the sake of this business, and back into the hands of somebody who can do it decently, grow it for the government, and there you go.
It's been used as medicine for hundreds of
years. We've had this discussion many times on the Dixon Chains podcast, so I'm not going to launch it again now, but we're in sync on that one.
I'm glad to know we share our views.
Hope you enjoyed that. Talk to you another time.
I don't know if you see the same, but I get a bit of Steely Dan in me.
In love?
Steely Dan in Ween. I find some Steely Dan sort of influence in Ween. I don't know what it is.
They did a lot of different stuff too. They were out there too. Yeah. I can see that. And because they're another kind of out there band. Yeah. Do their own thing.
And
for any artist, you got to respect the ones who are true to their own vision.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And that's so rare. I mean, they follow the thought machine.
And it's written off by a lot of people, like, initially, right? Both Steely Dan and Ween. Like I was saying about Ween, I sort of wrote it off as a bit of a college band,
But see, I never heard anything. Suddenly my son says, you got to listen to this.
Yeah.
And so it came totally new. So I was open-minded. I didn't even know any. I'd never heard of them. I'm amazed how much they do. For a couple of brothers.
Yeah.
That's creativity.
That's true too. Yeah.
And even the ones, the songs that can annoy you, you begin to like after
a while.
Yeah, exactly. You're having a conversation. God damn, that's not a song.
And that's the same I find with Steely Dan too, where it's like a lot of songs that I kind of would have considered really cheesy at first, or sort of you start to listen to and re-listen to, and you kind of see still, the sort of depth still, in
they,
it.
Commercially,
and,
they were pretty successful in their day. Steely Dan was big, whereas Ween, I don't know who even knows about
them. When did you hear Love first, Kevin? I mean, how did you hear about them? Because you're fairly young compared to Love.
Yeah. Probably only a few years before I went to see Arthur Lee in concert. So maybe around 2000. I don't know if...
Just somebody just turned you on to them?
Yeah,
so you gotta hear
someone told me about them, I'm sure. Sorry, Jason, I'll be right over. I don't know if Forever Changes have been reissued then, too.
It must have been, because, I mean, the CD, the one you were playing with the extra cuts on
it,
and so on.
But
Forever Changes, the original, was perfection.
Yeah.
It was just something that, holy shit. And, we'd do our passion, just listen to him, and holy fuck, this guy is so... And he just seemed so far ahead of us, like, wow, here's a guy who's leading us, you bought into it. I don't know. So I'm thrilled to know they're still alive, in that sense. That makes me so happy, because, I mean,
somebody's
just buried, or the corporate machine pumps them out. But these guys have survived just by word of mouth. Really, right?
Yeah. You know? What podcast do you do?
Dixon James.
What is it?
It's called Dixon James.
Oh, okay. But I find the best thing is just to keep positive about things, even the negative things.
It's the biggest. You can compartmentalize the negative crap, because there's a lot of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's life.
Yeah.
But you have to maintain a positive focus.
Absolutely.
Because it's too cheap, too easy to give that up.
Except the timing in life as well,
And the thing about
I feel things have a natural way of happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. You've learned all life lessons already. You know the story.
Yeah.
Because it's the same for traveling. Oh, I got to take a trip. I got to go here. No, there's always the right time to travel in your life. And it just flows, and the doors open.
Exactly.
And for people get hung up, I don't know if I can afford it this year. Maybe I'll do it next year.
When you're forcing everything to happen, it's not right.
It's not the way life works, man.
No.
And it's such a simple lesson. That's what Zen is all about.
Yeah.
Let go, let go, let go. Stop fighting.
Yeah, exactly. Understand that you still have to work for things, but that it should be a sort of productive.
Friends who say you'll get the support from the universe that you need. Like things will fall when you need it. Things will fall into place.
Exactly.
good.
Even the negative things are positive,
you learn. That's why. Yeah. I spent this miserable time in China, and I'm ended up 3 months later.
Part of it was, then he came and visited me.
Part was.
Beijing was great.
In the best time.
Yeah.
Anyway, take care.
See you next year.
You too.
Oh, good luck in the pub.
I was really upset about that. Lose Brian. I don't always Brian. But I saw you tonight. You're a good looking guy again. You're back and sitting in the bar there. You're probably one of the best looking guys in the bar.